Mick Abbott on Talk Radio.
And just out of time, we got a list of 150 questions from Mike Allen, the king of weekend talk. I know, I've seen the numbers.
Do you know who he is?
Do I know who Mike Allen is?
The boss.
No, that's Bruce Springsteen.
No, no, we call Mike the boss.
Mike is good, but he ain't Bruce Springsteen.
He's the icon.
No, that's Madonna.
No, no, it's Mike Allen.
So if that bloke calls back and he can get through 10 of these, they're not actually that hard. If he can get through 10 of these questions, we will send him a prize worth up to £1,000.
Ooh! Sorry, let's try that again. Ooh! Yes. Oh, here we go.
There was a very important phrase in that sentence, which we will type out and underline for you in case of doubt. So call back, get through 10 questions, and we will send you a prize worth up to £1,000.
Ooh! Oh, come on!
Oh, stop ooing. Here is London, and it's a man called Paul. Paul.
Hello there.
Yes, Paul.
Unfortunately, I know how an oxbow lake is formed. Does that make me very sad?
No, it makes you a genius around these parts. An oxbow lake. Olay, okay. Olay, okay.
Okay.
It's my trip to Spain. It's invading my mind. Olay, okay, let's go, Paul. Here we go.
All right. A river travels in... So let's assume a river's travelling in a straight line, meets a sort of obstacle, starts getting curvy, and when it gets bendy, that's called a meander. And when the meander goes off into a curve, and then the river, as a flood, say, and the river cuts back through, it leaves that semicircle of water where it no longer is a river anymore. It's freestanding, and that's an oxbow lake.
And we'll check over to our student person.
Yeah, he's right, yeah.
It's the correct answer, Paul. Unfortunately, there's no prize attached to that question.
No, I think that's because it's a piece of useless information, which I've known since I was about probably 12, and I've never used it.
You know, the only question that I could actually think of asking that bloke, carbon dioxide turns lime water what?
Yeah, that was another one. As soon as you said that, I went, turned it cloudy, and I just thought, where on earth did that come from?
It's the only thing I learned at school. It's the only thing that actually stuck in school. I know nothing else other than don't kick a bully. There was this lad who just came into school. Little did I know that he was expelled from the previous school, and this was about his last chance for education. And I decided to pick on him because it was his first day. what an idiot! And I can't remember what I was doing, but he stopped me short and kicked me under the table, and then told everybody he was going to get me in the playground afterwards.
Is that a euphemism?
Did he get you?
No, we became mates and we hung around. I used to hang around with the lads at school. It's absolutely extraordinary how I managed to get away with it. I'll never know to this day. So I was never challenged on it. I probably crumpled in a crying heap if anybody actually threatened me. But no, I was hanging out with the lads smoking. Oops, my parents are listening. I was hanging out with people who were smoking and pretending to enjoy it. All right, thanks, Paul.
All right, carry on the good work.
Okay, we'll do. 0500 10 53 89. This is almost like an education, this show, isn't it?
Almost.
Almost, yeah. Here's a call in Newport. Emma!
Hello?
What's up, Emma?
Hi, I thought it was priority to women.
Absolutely.
I mean, what you needed.
You have?
I had four blokes before me.
My apologies.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah, I want to talk about the problems of underage drinking.
Oh. Maybe that was the reason there were four calls ahead of you. The problem, not much comedy material in the problems of underage drinking.
Well, the problems.
Go ahead.
Well, being a barmaid myself, I see it all the time. You know, well, I come home from town, there's kids lying in the gutter.
Do you ever serve?
You sexy beast.
Do you ever serve?
Sorry.
Who was that?
My little brother. He's been on the drink as well tonight.
Hey, wait a minute. He's your little. You're 19, and he's your little brother.
Yeah, he's 15. He's already had two cans of lager.
So I think that the problem is actually, as his elder sister, don't you think you should be taking care of him? And
I'm trying now. I'm going to tell him off.
Are you physically bigger than he is?
He's much bigger than me, actually.
Oh, really? So
I'm a bit scared of him.
So a couple of slaps won't do it?
Oh, he'll get this later.
when his dad... You just wait till your father gets home, that's right.
Yeah.
Do you ever serve kids in your bar?
I was going to say, I work down the bar and I got to serve, like, all these little kids come in, I got to serve them. I get the sack if I don't serve them, even though I know half of them are underage.
I don't understand. You get the sack if you serve them.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, I work in a bar, and it's in a busy nightclub, so if I don't serve them, if I think they're underage, I've still got to serve them, otherwise I get sacked.
That's absolutely extraordinary.
Yeah. Yes, I know. I won't give the name of the club, of course. But
wouldn't they lose their license if they were found to be people who are underage?
Oh, yeah.
But they don't care about that. They're just interested in a quick profit.
Yeah.
Is it a chain?
Is it what, sorry?
Is it owned by a chain or is it owned just by one particular individual?
Just one individual.
Right. Wow. We shouldn't really name this on the air, should we? Just in case it's not
like
true.
I'm going to work tonight.
Really?
Yeah.
And so I'm guessing lots of fights all the time. Bouncers very heavy and in attendance at all times.
Oh yeah, always fights. And another reason why I phoned up was because my boyfriend, well, two people are close to me. They both started drinking when they were younger, and I think it's sort of damaged them now.
Well, you know, people in France drink when they're very young, but they're led into it. People in France have a different attitude to drink than we do over here, because as a nation, we have been we have our hands, the backs of our hands, smacked constantly from when we are born till we die, pretty much, by government. This one included, and everyone previously, that thinks it knows better than we actually do, this, and that says that they're like the obnoxious aunt that you hated, and it was always with the finger pointing, and you don't do this, and you don't do that, and you can't do that, and you're stupid, and you know, blah, blah. And that's what this government is like, and everyone previous, and the reason that we are known in other countries as drunks. Because if you speak to people in France or Germany or Holland and talk to them about British drinking habits, they're amazed when they come over here because they perceive this country as a nation of people who drink to get drunk.
Hey, you're good, Nick. You know what you're talking about.
In other countries, people drink to be social. They don't. It's not a charge to get... I was going to use the P word again. Can you say peed on the radio?
Pissed.
She said it. Don't say it again.
Okay, sorry.
I don't want to dump you.
Okay.
That's right. It's more of a social kind of, it's a nice social event over there. But over here, it's a race to get drunk. And we do that for various reasons. Mm. Because we have ridiculous licensing laws. And we're constantly being told, don't do this, don't do that. You have to finish drinking at 11. And you have to... Until relatively recently, bars used to close during the day. The assumption being that people wouldn't go back to work. Mm. Always astonishes me that people accept being treated like children by successive governments. I mean, the masses in this country are treated like complete idiots, unable to make their own mind up about anything. Pubs close so early so that people will stop drinking so that they can get up the next day and do a good day's work. I mean, that's astonishing to me. And yet, you just leave the country, it's 2 hours away. In every country in the Western world, I don't believe there's one single one that closes its bars at 11 o'clock. I mean, that would just
be
absurd.
On Sundays, we do close it. We have stopped 7:30, 10.
Yeah, it's insane. For what possible reason? And the result is everybody gets kicked out at the same time. So you've got the streets awash with people who have been drinking at speed to get it all in.
Yeah, I find that as well. 10:15, everyone comes in, they buy about 4 pints just down in them, just so we can get it before the bar shuts.
And then we wring our hands and wonder why there's people lying in the gutter being glassed and there's just rivers of blood in the streets after 11 o'clock.
I know.
And decent people who read the Express and the Mail, they don't want to go into town.
Yeah, and can I just say one more thing?
You have to be brief.
I will be brief. That's what happened last week to Romper and Richard Yewitt. He went out drinking. She got arrested.
That's good. They should rot in jail. Or not, as the case may be. Bye-bye.
Right, bye.
0500 1053 89 to all the babies that are listening in this country. Don't you think that that's really a... Oh, let's not get into it, because when I start talking about the government, it's almost like my head's going to explode. Stupid news. This one's quite funny. I like this one. Little stupid news tidbits. I had to have picked a good one at random. Would-be thief Peter Harrison was knocked out when a brick he threw at a jeweler's window in Dublin bounced back and hit him in the face. Tony Blair was embarrassed in Scotland. Gurdy should have his pants pulled down and smacked on the bottom.
Or he shouldn't. Or if he does, then it should happen to every other party leader, former Prime Minister,
nope.
Future Prime Minister.
Yes. Just him.
For balance, it has to happen for everybody. And it's Talk Radio satellite weather. Tonight, a frosty night for Scotland and Northern England, with rain... or snow in places, which will be clearing later on. Northern Ireland, Wales and South West England will also be showery, although remaining dry inland.
Is it supposed to be a windy night? Did you say that?
I haven't said it yet.
You skipped that bit.
No, I haven't said it yet. I was coughing.
Mm-hmm. What is wrong with this man?
I have the flu. A windy night for Central and South East England with dry... dry, clear conditions. Oh, and some lightning.
We've had the lightning. It never strikes twice in the same place.
Okay. Maximum temperature of 5 degrees Celsius. 5 degrees.
Oh, 5.
And a minimum temperature of minus 2 degrees Celsius. Minus 2.
5 minus 2 is 3. Oh. Now you got me doing it.
Tomorrow.
Nelly, take over.
Tomorrow, wintry showers with some sun for the far north of Scotland.
The sun has got his hat on. Hooray! The sun has got his hat on.
Whilst the rest of Scotland will have a fine dry day.
You're not talking over that, are you?
After
good God, man, that's art!
Frosty start.
Yes.
I'm misty.
Oh, frosty.
With some mist.
Yes.
And lightning.
Mm-hmm.
England, Wales and Northern Ireland will be mainly dry, right? Hey! Although showers are likely in exposed parts.
Don't expose your parts!
Yeah, not after last time. With a maximum temperature of 9 degrees Celsius and a minimum temperature of 5 degrees Celsius.
Nick, you're so fine, you blow my mind.
Hey, Nicky.
Hot bus buns, one a penny, two a penny, hot bus buns.
It's called from Mary Poppins.
Oh, I was really interested in,
Brian, your brain's stopped.
I'm giving it all she's got, Captain!
Dennis, you still there?
Yeah.
Go away! No, I am great. That's G-R-A-T-E. Nick Harris. Who won this thing?
Sean in Belfast. It's not as good as the other one.
No, it isn't. I missed the other one. The other one used to... the head used to shake a little bit. This one seems to be stuck firmly on. I missed the other one a lot, actually.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have given it away.
Well, let's shake Nelly, see what he does.
500, 1050, 389. What is going on in there, by the way?
Know.
Here is, let's see who's been waiting the longest. Let's be totally fair about this. Actually, for the first time tonight, I've just been hitting them at random. It's Colin in Linlithgow.
Hi, Nick.
Hi, you're on Talk Radio.
CDs. Because too much. Because, well, there's two reasons for it. There's one because Oasis and so on, they're all so rich. So they have to charge huge fees. So what we should do is we should shoot Oasis.
I think if you wait long enough, they'll shoot themselves.
That would be a good thing. And the second is because all the people who work for CD companies are money-grabbing bar stewards.
Are they really?
They are indeed.
In their spare time, you mean?
Probably all the time, I would say. Oh, and I've got a question for Kev as well.
Hello, Colin.
Talking of bar stewards.
Terrible thing to say. Kev, where are you from? Is it like Scotland, England?
It's just north of Aviemore. It's a small village which has like a population of 3 sheep, one barn, a hotel.
And a big castle on the hill that looks suspiciously like Frankenstein's place.
Yeah, yes. It's called Ballyhoo. And nobody believes me when I say
Ballyhoo.
No, it is.
I think I've been there.
Have you really? Well, you'd know if you've been there because it's a really small hotel. It's like somebody's house which has been converted.
That is the World Centre for Yodeling.
Holy.
Placido Domingo.
Wait, no, that's Wales.
Placido Domingo?
Very probably.
It's a small town in Wales. Yes, you're absolutely right.
Okay, see you later.
Okay, 0500 1053 89. Free one. Mike's coming in at 10, and we'll be popping in to be bizarre before that.
What will he say when he pops in?
He'll probably say, hello.
How will he say it?
He'll say, hello.
That was quite good.
His rich, deep brown voice. Here is Ilford. You don't live in Ilford, James?
Hello.
How's it going?
Well, I just wanted to talk about Elizabeth from Cheddar.
Yeah, where is she, I wonder?
Well, I think she should have, a talk radio, slot.
I'd like to see her on television. I think that would, I'd watch. Whoa, big burp. I'd watch that. Elizabeth from Cheddar on television. That would be great. No, she should have her own show. She's hilarious. I wish that she'd call back, but she's, as I say, probably very upset at the prize that she got in the post.
Yeah, the bird from Channel 5, that's Lisa.
Lisa. Oh, yes. Lisa.
And it's Crystal Rose as well.
Crystal Rose. That's who I was thinking of. Is her show still on or has it been cancelled?
Well, it's cancelled. They got some... a cookery program or something.
Of course, yeah. If in doubt, stick the cookery on.
Who's that hosted by, the cookery program? Oh, right.
On Channel 5?
Yeah.
Is it another bloke with a sticky up hair? Oh, no, that's, the bloke who sells sugar. He does Channel 1.
Mr. Rhodes.
Gary Rhodes, yeah. I think they've got another bloke with sticky up hair. All cooks have to have something, don't they? Have to have, like, a little hook thing. There's the big, camp black bloke, and there's the bloke with the sticky up hair.
Kingsley is not the count.
Oh, yeah, right.
He is not count.
As a row of lace aprons, no. Are you sure?
Yeah. Positive, it's nice.
Ainsley is, I'm sure he's a nice guy, I'm not saying he's not a nice guy.
But he's not that count.
As a row of pink frilly tents, are you serious?
Yes.
Not camp? What are you talking about, man?
Well, I don't think he is.
Why are you stroking your little beard like that?
I'm not.
Friends with Ainsley?
No. I don't know any cooks. Or chefs.
So where were we, James?
I don't know.
Lost.
Tell Kev to go away.
Go away, Kev.
Bye.
Good call, James. 0500 1053 89. Now, we were talking about this Jerry Springer chap. He's the latest in... It was quite interesting because all these daytime talk shows in the States, and you think we've got a lot here, it's absolutely wall-to-wall over there. If game shows are not really the thing anymore. For decades, they used to be the absolute audience grabbers of American television. Now, it's all these confessional talk shows, and it's just astonishing that the people that they get on there talk about, well, I was going to say white trash, but it's trash of all colours. Incredible that people want to come on television and do their little bit. And there was this bloke called Morton Downey...
Jr.
Yeah, that's right. The guy with the warts on his face. Who was a talk show host in Miami, and then he got this show. And he was about the most obnoxious person I've ever seen on television. This guy was unbelievable. He was chain-smoking, for a start. You hardly ever see that on TV. He'd never had a cigarette out of his hand or his mouth. And he would be screaming. He'd have a Jewish group and Nazi stormtroopers in the same studio, and he'd be screaming in their face and literally picking them up off the chair and throwing them off the set. And he was awful, but totally addictive. And once you started watching, you just couldn't stop. But he went so far over the line that the networks got cold feet, and despite the fact that he had a huge audience, they pulled the plug on his show, thereby creating the assumption that the kind of real confrontational stuff wouldn't play to this mythical middle America. And so it got replaced by the woman who's on Channel 4 now, who was an actress in Hairspray.
Ricky Lake. Go, Ricky.
Yeah, which is all of that sort of soft, feel-good, a little bit outrageous, you know, you slept with my girlfriend and you're my brother, that kind of thing. And this guy called Jerry Springer, who I've heard in conversation, not on his show, he's a very intelligent guy. Like, he really knows what he's doing, and I think he's just going to make huge amounts of money and then get out laughing and wave his money at people as he goes by in his limo.
You know, he's bigger than Oprah now in the States.
I don't think that's actually true.
It is true. It is true.
Well, that is astonishing.
Nick Abbott.
He's got horns coming out of his head. He's got a ring through his nose. He wears loafers.
Percussive instrument in here. I'd like you to get down in there, and as soon as we've done that, get back up again.
Nick, you're a man of the world.
What does that mean?
Well, it means you've been about a bit, you know.
What does that mean?
Well, it means that you enjoy a healthy social life.
Carry on.
What's wrong with that? You enjoy a healthy social
Nothing
life.
So far.
You like to go out, you go to pubs, don't you?
Be warned, anything you might say will be taken down and used in evidence against you.
I know exactly what I'm doing. Pubs. Jukeboxes and pubs. This probably isn't very interesting, but it annoys me.
I'll say.
And I, you know, it's in me and it has to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You go and you put a couple of quid in a jukebox, okay?
You do?
Well, I might. You know, might want to put on some music to add to the atmosphere. I was in this pub last night, we did that. And, I put on a track, I think it was an REM track, but, you know, we're sort of starting to mellow out a bit. And the next thing I know...
REM? Was it something like... That was one of those, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And it sort of gets into a few chords. And then it stopped and went on to the next
track. Just like that?
Now, I've been in this pub a lot before, and it seems every time you put on a track which is quite mellow...
Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah, it skips on to the next track. What it appears to be, from what I can gather, is behind the bar, they have a big reject button. And if you put your money in, I'm serious about this, because I know that some bars do this, it has a reject button, and if a track comes on that they don't like, doesn't matter about your 25p or whatever, they'll just hit it.
Quite right.
And it goes on to the next track.
Who the hell do you think you are going into their establishment, choosing music that they don't like? You don't understand that you're in and out, you're in there for socializing. They have to work there. They're there all day.
But have you come across this before? Or is it just me? Is it my imagination?
You know, I don't ever recall putting money in a jukebox and hearing the songs that I had chosen. Because the jukebox is usually in operation. Because if nobody's putting money in it, then they... having worked in a pub, I know that the management will just make it play to create an atmosphere to make people want to put money in. Because they hear a song and they think, oh, I'd like to hear my songs. I've never heard my selection come up. I think it just, like... Did they just go around and around and around, the pre-program, whatever song they would like to hear? And, the amount of times I've requested George Formby...
Now I go window cleaning...
Never heard it once.
...to earn an honest bob. For a nosy parker, it's an interesting job.
It's always, that steel bloke comes on.
What a picture, rhapsody, am-pam-pam-pam-pam. Steel in your family,
album. You can stick it in your family album. Here's one in, who's been waiting the longest? Let me see, almost half an hour. Look at this. It's, Scunthorpe. Hello, Chris.
All right, mate.
How's it going?
All right. I just want to talk about losing things and what happens to you when you lose stuff. Because my folks went shopping last weekend, and they came back, and, like, my dad lost the car key. And it's just, like, really weird watching the whole gamut of emotions that someone goes through when they lose something.
Yes.
You suddenly, like, it's like they're bonkers things that you sort of think that you've done with them, because, like, you thought they might have stuck to his shoes. So he went, like, walking around the street, seems to have, like, dropped off his shoes. Then he went up the garden. Like looking behind the telly and looking in jackets that he's never worn for 20 years. But the strange thing is, like, you know, he'd like repeatedly asked his daughter if any of us has moved the keys. And my mum's found them in a handbag today. And she wants me to plant them somewhere. Do you think I should go along with the wicked plan? Because my dad's just scoured every inch of our garden and house and everywhere.
You should put them in the first place that your dad looked. That will make him go insane. Put them in his coat. No, don't put them anywhere so obvious that he'll know that he didn't miss them. Put them in the car. Put them in the ignition.
But then I'll tell him, won't I, if I probably get stolen.
Yeah, well, that's a good point, yeah.
Oh, good point, yeah.
Maybe you should actually drive the car away so that he thinks that somebody stole the keys. Oh, well, perhaps that's going too far.
I could be a hero, because I found it somewhere.
But how long was it before he started just he just lost it, and there was just screaming and shouting and swearing.
Sort of started with confusion, and then he went into sort of desperation, then exasperation, then sort of anger.
Yes.
And now he's sort of calmed down now, but he's gone and like bought a few spare ones as well, so it's going to make him doubly angry.
Doubly angry, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because I lose things every single day, and I'm always late for everything, because I'll leave the house. Say I'll get up in the morning, I have to be somewhere at 9. I'll get up at 7:30, and then I'll sit and watch the TV for 25 minutes, and then I'm in a rush. And then, and no matter how many times I do this, it's always the same. I wait until the very last minute, and then I'm in a mad panic, and I can't find my keys, and I can't find the tube pass. And I don't go through the confusion and the... what was the second thing you went through?
Desperation.
Confusion and desperation. I skip past those and go straight to foaming at the mouth fury. And I'm stomping around and I'm straight with the bellowing at the top of my voice. Where are my
keys? Well, it's not that crazy though, because it escalates. Because when you start doing that, you lose other stuff.
It's like my mind. That's right. I start going red in the face, and I'm going to die looking for my keys. I really am. They're going to actually be the death of me.
Something spooky happened though a while ago. I was just sat in the kitchen one day, and I was reading the paper or something, and I heard this like, poof, like a flop. And I sort of I looked around the corner, and this loaf of bread had just fallen over on its head, and it knocked the bottle opener off the top.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
And it flew off and hid behind the cooker.
Right. Well,
and if I hadn't witnessed it, then we would never have found that.
And if you hadn't said it, I wouldn't think that you are
crazy. I'm crazy for feeling so lonely.
Say goodbye, Chris.
Bye. Hey, who sang that, by the way?
That was Peggy Lee.
No, it was Patsy Cline. You never did Hospital Radio, did you?
What's that? A big fan of Patsy Cline.
Of course, what's not to like about Patsy Cline?
Can't beat a bit of country and western.
That's right. Gotta go.
Cheers then.
0500 1053 89. We want more stories about death and divorce, don't we? Oh, we better not talk about that, we? I forgot.
What?
Country music, it's all about death and
just gonna ask those nice people along the corridor.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but not talk about it.
Oh, I see.
Four.
Well, nobody else in London knows what you're on about.
London, mate. It's a London thing, mate, innit?
Yeah.
Here's Enfield, and it's a bloke called Ray.
Oh, hello there.
Hello, Ray.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about news. Don't you think it's getting outrageous, the stuff they're reporting in your news nowadays? I mean, I was watching the news the other day, and I think it was local stuff, London programme. There was a bloke there who used to spot planes for his hobby, right? And now he's got a job in the airport directing planes.
What?
That was a story.
He's
right?
An air traffic controller.
No, he's a bloke on the floor with the two orange things, and he waves them about, and the plane knows when to stop and to start.
Ah, right.
Yeah. And they spent about 20 minutes on that, right? And then there was another one about this.
What was this, Newsnight?
Yeah, you know, it is outrageous. There was another one about, on the same program, about henna tattoos, right? And they just decided there and then henna tattoos are news.
Well, you know why?
No.
It's Madonna. She showed up on, wasn't it the lottery
didn't
show?
That.
Yeah, Madonna showed up with henna tattoos on the lottery show, and suddenly everybody's talking about it.
Oh, well then, if they just mention that, then, yeah. Because they were saying, like, they're mystic, and people who've got them have, like, psychic powers and stuff. And they brought a woman on, they invited a woman onto the news program, just some hippie who does henna tattoos. And they got her on, and she just sat there. You know, they must have got a taxi for her and stuff, and paid for her to come wherever she, from where she lives, to come on this news program.
Well, that's quite nice. It's probably the first time the hippie had ever been in a taxi.
Yeah, probably, yeah. And also, can I change the subject?
Sure,
Jack
why
Doherty,
not?
I mean... What's that all about? What do you think about that, eh?
You know, I've never actually watched an entire
episode. No one has. But I've watched it.
But they seem to be fully squared behind it. They just signed him in for another year or so, haven't they? The Jack Doherty Show? I think it's another year or 2 years. They've just signed the contract.
I can't get over it.
Well, the problem with talk shows on the television in this country is that we don't have the guests. Especially, I mean, you're hard-pressed to get good guests on a weekly basis, but every night, I mean, who does he have on the show?
Well, you know, you say that. I think he's had some good people on sometimes. Not that I watch it a lot, but I've watched it. But it's just him. You can get the most exciting genius in the world on that program, and he will just, oh, what does he do? He just, I don't know. I can't explain it. He's, oh. Anyway.
Not a big fan, then? No, not really.
No, no. And also, people complain about, you're saying about CDs, right, and they're totally overpriced and that.
Well over.
What is it with all the, you hear the industry going nuts about people who bootleg CDs. I think bootlegging should be promoted as a national pastime, because then, you know, they would do something about the price of CDs.
Or?
And I think when you go to a shopping place, right, and there's a geezer with a big suitcase, and he's looking out for policemen and stuff who are about to nick him, you should go up to him and you should give him your money and buy his CDs off him.
Or? Not. For balance. Thanks a lot, Ray.
All right.
0500 1053 89. And if you're ever in a CD shop, you should peel off those security tags and just stick them in your pocket.
What's the last CD you bought or received that you enjoyed?
No, this was your cue to say, or you shouldn't.
Or you shouldn't, I'm sorry.
Just for balance, blimey.
I'm not listening to a word you say.
Well, the last CD I bought, well, actually, it's not new at all, because I get all my new CDs free.
Do you ever listen to them?
No. The last CD I bought was just yesterday, and it was the Best of Steeler's Wheel. I was looking for Fergusley Park, which is one of the best albums I've ever heard by Steeler's Wheel. It was Jerry Rafferty and Joe Egan, because I was playing Stuck in the Middle with You, which was the ear slicing music on Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah, and you don't actually see the ear, but everyone thinks.
No, that's right. Torture you. That's a good idea. I like that one. And it reminded me about Fergusley Park, because it was on that album, which is a fantastic album. You know, the albums that you buy in your youth, when you're between sort of 13 and 20, always remain the most important to you. I mean, that kind of music, like Physical Graffiti by Led Zeppelin, what a fantastic album. And Fergusley Park as well, and all that kind of that early 70s music. And I know that makes me sound really chronic and old.
Yeah.
But it's the, and all the music in the punk era, you know, 76 to, because I feel really fortunate that I was a teenager at exactly the right age at punk. I was born in 1960, and so when punk was around, I was, in 1976, I was 16. Beat that. Perfect. You know, I could have been born a little later and had my teenage years listening to Flock of Seagulls. Imagine.
Guilty.
Yeah, well, then the haircut remains.